Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, you've spoken to us. In your word, you give us your spirit that we might receive this. And so help us tonight to draw nearer to you by faith, in obedience, in repentance, and to your glory as we hear and receive this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's often easier to start something well, but to finish well, you need to plan. Our family, when the kids were growing up, drove across to the East Coast 4 times over the years. And we had some fantastic trips. Starting off, though, is very easy. Everyone's excited. It's holidays. It feels like it's an adventure. And the first day, it kind of is. We always stopped at Norseman, so it wasn't too long. And so that was okay. But if you're going to spend 5 days with 5 people in one car and be friends at the end of the trip, you need to plan. And so Irene was always good at planning for these things, had activities for the kids, journals. 1 year we had disposable cameras. Remember them? We had a video for the afternoons. There were always snacks and food. We had a hotel that we stayed in each night, and we always made sure the hotel had a pool. That made all the difference. So with all the planning, we generally drove into Sydney more relaxed than when we left Perth, but it took planning. The last passage that we had looked at in 1 Thessalonians a few weeks ago was about the return of Jesus. And this age coming to an end, and the goal of all of our faith, our belief, was there. And you would think, well, that'd be a high point to end a letter. But then Paul goes into these next verses, and you wonder, well, why didn't he just end it on the high point of the return of Christ? And the reason is, I think, because he wants to make sure if that's our ending, if that's our finish, we want to finish well. So he brings it back into the present and says, how will you finish well? By focusing on these 3 things that I've been talking about as we've gone through the letter. And in fact, at the start of the letter, Paul said, you guys are known for these 3 things. Have a look back to chapter 1, verse 3. And you see the 3 things here. Chapter 1, verse 3, he said, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's those same 3 things that need to characterise our life now in the days while we wait for Christ's return to make sure that we do finish well. So those are the 3 points. They're on the outline, which is on the back of the bulletin. And keep that handy. So the first thing to finish well, we must continue in faith. Now, it's always worth from time to time saying, well, what is Christian faith? Faith is trust, and it's trust in what God has done and what he has said he's done and what he has said he'll do. Jesus died for the guilty. He rose to new life. He is now Lord of all. He will return to judge all. And those who trust him are put right with him. It's a message. It's a promise based on facts. And we put our trust in that message. And so how do you continue in that trust, in that faith? Well, you continue by hearing the message. Continue by hearing the message, continuing to hear the message, continuing to believe the message, and continuing to obey the message. And you see how that is emphasized then in these final verses. There's 4 different ways that Paul says it. The first is we're to acknowledge those who are in word ministries. Look at verses 12 and the first part of 13. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. What's their work? It's to teach and equip you, the church, so that we might know and serve God better. So we hold them in high regard. Secondly, express the faith, express the trust that we have. Verses 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, those aren't so much commands that you must do as much as they're expressions of what we already believe. Informed by God's word, we will rejoice. And not necessarily because of our circumstances, because sometimes our circumstances are terrible. But Paul says, you'll rejoice in your circumstances. And you can do that because you know Christ is Lord. He loves you. He's going to come back, put everything to right. So no matter what's going on, you can rejoice in that. And we're also able to pray. Now, pray continually doesn't mean that you're constantly praying. That wouldn't make sense. It is that you've got a continual attitude of prayer, so that throughout the day, in all your situations, you're able to pray. So we are expressing our faith. And thirdly, stay teachable. Verses 19 to 22. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Well, what is it to put out the Spirit's fire? Or your version might say, quench the Spirit. Well, it helps to look at what Paul's already said about the Spirit and what the Spirit does in this letter, Thessalonians. And he talked about the Spirit right at the very beginning. So go back to chapter 1 again and have a look at verses 5 and 6 and see specifically what the Spirit has done there in Thessalonica. Verses 5 and 6 say this, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit been doing? Well, in that transformation that happened to make these people Christian, to form the church, well, that happened through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit as the gospel came to them. The Spirit breathed the word of God and enabled them to believe, and he even now enables them to rejoice in their troubles. And so to not quench the Spirit would mean to remain open to what the Spirit is doing, and that is breathing the word of God. Be open to the word of God, or be teachable. Remain teachable. Don't ever think that you've heard it all before. And Paul says, test what you are hearing according to the scriptures. Hold on to it if it's good and reject the rubbish, but stay teachable. And then fourthly, and obviously, keep hearing God's word. Look at verse 27. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. Paul's letter was to be read. Why? Well, because it's the word of God. Paul the apostle was writing God's word, and that word was to be heard by all, and they are to keep hearing it and to make sure their brothers and sisters in Christ keep hearing it. And notice there the expectation that we will hear God's word together. It was unimaginable that you would have your own Bible in these days, but even if you did, I think the assumption would still be that you would hear it read and you would hear it taught as a group. The church is where we hear, where we sit under, where we respond corporately to the word of God, not in isolation, but together. If we're to continue in faith, then we need to keep hearing and responding to the word of God. And we won't do that unless we plan to do it, and plan to do it for the rest of our lives. Some of the times when we've been driving across the country, it's really struck us how cushy we have it. Sealed roads, air conditioning, tinting, there's shops and hotels, swimming pools, plenty of food along the way. And every now and then we've thought, imagine the first explorers, the pioneers. They had none of that, and everything they needed to bring with them. And they'd really have to plan for the worst. And even then, some of these early explorers died. There was on the east coast, there were the explorers Burke and Wills. And they went right down in the south, around Melbourne, right up into the north, and then back again. And they didn't make it back. And they ran out of their supplies. They ended up eating bush tucker, which, while they were eating it in those final few weeks, was actually filling them. They were feeling satisfied while they were eating this food that they were getting weaker by the day. And eventually they died. And it's likely that what they died from is vitamin deficiency. And it seems that the bush tucker was probably the right kind of food, but they weren't preparing it right. So while they had food, it just wasn't what they needed. And they died from it. Now, we will be like that if we don't feed rightly on God's word. You see, you could get through a day, you could get through a week, you could get through a month, even a year maybe, based on what you remember about God's word, what you were taught once, what you used to read, what you used to be excited about in your younger years. And you feel like, well, yeah, that, you know, I remember all of that, and you keep going. And each day you feel the same. But each day your faith will be getting colder and weaker if you're not actually feeding regularly on God's word. You won't notice it at the time, but just gradually you'll realise that it doesn't matter to you that you don't meet with other Christians anymore. You'll realise it doesn't bother you that much that most of your friends don't know Jesus and are facing eternity without him. Sin won't be as serious to you as it used to be. Prayer will become this thing that happens every now and then, and gradually you'll just start looking more and more like everyone else around you and the world whose messages you are feeding on. Because while we're not listening to God's word, we are still listening to all the other messages around us. Don't just start well, finish well. And to do that, we need to plan. We need to plan to continue in faith, hearing and responding to God's word. Secondly, to finish well, we need to continue in love. Now, what does that look like? Well, it's again God's word, and God's word reveals what God's love is like. And so we are to love the way that God has loved us. Have a look at verses 13 to 15, halfway through 13. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to everyone. Kind to each other and to everyone else. You see, God didn't wait for you or me to become spiritually or morally pure before he loved us. And that's how we're to be with others, especially in our own church. Now, back in chapter 1, Paul described this church in Thessalonica as a model church. But notice the kind of people that are in this model church. There's the idle. Some were idle. Now, that word seems to imply a kind of a disorderliness. Some were timid and weak. Now, maybe that meant physically, maybe it meant spiritually. And then under pressure from their unbelieving neighbours that seemed to be giving them a hard time, it's easy to snap and become impatient and to give as good as you get. And it seems that some of them were probably starting to do that. Was this really a model church? Now, if you could create a church, your church, that you would belong to, out of anyone that you wanted, who would you choose? Now, I'm guessing we would do the spiritual equivalent of choosing the netball team or the footy team at lunchtime in the playground, where you just get the spiritually most attractive, the spiritually tallest, the spiritually fastest, most athletic, you name it, and they'll be in our church. Would you choose a church that had idle, timid, weak, impatient people in it? Would you have chosen a church like the church in Thessalonica? Would you choose a church like the one at 5 o'clock in Kallaroo? I'm guessing we wouldn't. So why is it that God chose a church like that in Thessalonica, a church like this now? Well, I reckon a few reasons. I reckon the first one is so that people like us can join. But also so that we can learn to love like we've been loved. How would you learn to do that if everyone was just like you and you got on perfectly without any issues? If you are going to love people who aren't perfect, then you'll need to plan to do it. And so, don't be shocked if someone here lets you down. Be ready to say a hard word, a hard but loving word, to the friend who's behaving in an ungodly way. Guard yourself against impatience, especially when you're under pressure. And it's God's word that'll keep nourishing you to keep loving like He loves. How do you know that you're a member of this church and not just a spectator here? Well, I think the difference will be in your involvement in the lives of others, so that you either express love for one another or you don't. How many more people do you know now than you did a year ago? It's easier to just sit in the same seat each week, sit with the same people, talk with the same people each week. It's easier to do that. But to really love, we need to plan for it. And so we might need to plan, especially before we walk in the door at night. I'm going to plan to sit with someone I don't know tonight. I'm going to sit with someone new. And I might introduce them over supper to someone I do know. I might join a home group if I'm not in one. I might make sure that next week I've finished the gardening, or I've come home from the barbecue or whatever it is. I've come home a little bit early to make sure I'm not rushed at church. I'll try and meet up with someone through the week just to catch up, see how they're going, and spend a little bit of that time praying with them. I'll come to the monthly prayer meeting. If we're going to finish well, we need to plan to continue in love. And then thirdly, continue in hope. All of this assumes that there is a finish, a goal. The gospel promises it. And it's that one day we'll stand before Jesus. And we'll be ready for that day, not because of our superior faith or our superior love. Our hope is grounded in God's faithfulness, that He will do what He promises. So have a look at Paul's final prayer, verse 23 and 24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Now, sanctify means to make holy. And through and through, well, that's like your whole spirit, soul and body. It's you entirely being made holy. That means physically, spiritually, mentally, you will be holy. You will never sin again. You will be pure. You will be perfectly acceptable to God every second of your existence. You'll be made blameless and fit for God's presence. Now, as we continue in that hope, because that's our hope, and that hope is again informed by God's word, then we will continue confidently, because the hope is based on not us, but on God. You see how Paul ends there? The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Now, what could be a more glorious thing to live for? Everyone lives for something, and of course, people live for far less. People live for a little patch of ground that's got a building on it. People live for a short-lived career, a relationship that, however good it is, it ends with one of them dying. I mean, those are things that happen along the way in life, and we can honour God in them, but let's not set our hope on them. This is the one hope that's certain, the one thing that will never pass away, and that is our relationship with God in Christ, being made blameless in Him. And so it is worth giving all that we are for that hope. And we will get there. Imagine a child, a small child. Let's say really small, like a three-year-old. They live around here and the folks say, we're going to ride to Hillary's Boat Harbour and you can get that favourite ice cream you love. And the eyes go wide and all right and you know, the bike is on the ready. And the little legs start and they're running like the, you know, the mouse on the wheel and they're going to get to Hillary's. But of course 6 kilometres is a long way for little legs. And it won't take long before they're going to be in trouble. But now imagine that their bike is attached by one of those connecting rod things to their parents' bike. And then it's a different story. Because while they're, you know, pedalling like a mouse on a wheel, their parents also pedalling. And 6 kilometres for their parent is nothing. And so while they're excited and they're really going for it, starting well, it's really the parents' effort that's going to guarantee that they'll be enjoying that favourite ice cream before too long. That's what our hope is like. Yes, we contribute. Yes, we work towards that. Yes, we continue in our faith, in our love. But our hope is based on what God does. We are never in doubt of reaching the goal, being blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus, because God will do it. We will finish well. So continue in faith, continue in love, and continue in hope. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Amen.